from a spiritual perspective, a relationship and a connection doesn't exist. As it is understood that the one mind is everything, there can be no connection, no relationship with that one mind, as everything that is cannot be connected or related to itself, because it already is itself. Because I first need to be separated from something in order to create a relationship with something.
If only I realize that the darkness is part of life as well as the light, also the illusion is as part of life as the realization. One is medicine to the other. The illusion is the medicine to realization.
Love has really to be questioned all the time, what that really is. Is it a conditional benevolence, or is it true unconditional love?
Welcome to the Voices of the One Mind, where the elixir of wisdom flows freely. Join us as we dive into the profound thoughts of extraordinary human beings who embody wisdom, offering insights that serve as a bridge to awakening. Unshackling minds from the chains of suffering, our conversations pave the way for enhanced health, enriched lives, and exponential spiritual growth. Get ready to sip on the nectar of the One Mind with us.
We are living in an interconnected world, in union with everything that is, which leads us to converse today in the Voices of the One Mind episode about relationship, what it is, what's the purpose, what we understand through a relationship, and what's the experience about. Next to me is Bear. Thank you, Bear, for being here and elaborate with me on the topic of relationship.
Yeah, very welcome. I appreciate always being here.
Thank you. So I hear and see that everyone, literally everyone around me, has a fiery topic called relationship, being a romantic relationship, being a relationship with friends, with the boss, with the universe. Everything is in a connection. So relationship or connection. Sometimes I all the time mention connection. I think for me resonates much more in this world than relationship. So what is a relationship? What is a connection in the first place? Of course, we can think about the word connection and already like say to connect with someone in an energetic way or something like this. And then maybe we can move a bit towards a romantic relationship and the different stages of it, and other type of connections we have in our earth walk.
What is a relationship? What is a connection?
Is there any difference between the two?
There is a difference. Well, let me put it that way. Or let me begin with the following statement. A relationship and a connection, which are two different things, are things
that can only be perceived by something, a being, that is separate and that feels separate from that other that it is connected to or related to. Because only that can be named a relationship.
A separation.
Because I first need to be separated from something in order to create a relationship with something. Does that make sense? You cannot be one and the same. If you are one and the same, a relationship or a connection is an obsolete concept. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, from a spiritual perspective, a relationship and a connection doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
As it is understood that the one mind is everything, there can be no connection, no relationship with that one mind. As everything that is cannot be connected or related to itself because it already is itself.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So only something that is here can be connected to something that is here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It is like saying, I can only connect this finger with this finger. And so now they are in kind of a relationship, meaning what the connection is now done physically, and what is the relationship between the two of them, some kind of energy starts to stream in between, and that's their connection.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
While the tip of this finger cannot be touched with the tip of this finger because it's one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the tip of this finger cannot have a relationship with the tip of this finger. It is the same.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So when we come to this understanding, we also understand that the relationship and connections are purely human constructs that are within the earthly realms, within the human aggregate.
Mm-hmm.
In how do we, and here comes the point, what is the relationship? How does this human being relate to another human being, relate to a tree,
mm-hmm.
relate to the world, to the universe, to everything that is around?
Mm-hmm.
How does it connect with it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is a fundamental understanding that we need to have when we talk about this topic to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I hear people talking about my relationship with God,
mm-hmm.
my connection to God, I hear that this is two separate beings.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that God is some entity living above the clouds, and I'm a small human being here, and I relate and connect to this being above the clouds. I'm talking about metaphorically now. What came to understanding in this being is that there is no possible connection, no possible relationship, because it is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And picking up your question, what is the difference? I said, what is the difference between relationship and connection? Yeah, what I explained with this example, like, let's put it in a physical example. I put a cable into a plug, okay? Funnily enough, you talk in a plug, even you talk about the female and the masculine,
yeah,
and the
yeah,
feminine
correct.
Part. So if I plug this in, what do they have? Their relationship is that they fit perfectly together, and both of them are needed to transport something.
Yeah.
Which in that case is electricity. And that's their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The connection
is that moment of the physical part when I bring them together.
Mm-hmm.
So in mm-hmm. order that they are able to live that, in order to perform that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the connection.
So first is the connection, and then can happen or a relationship. Or?
Yeah, you could say it also this way, but not only. So when we come to this relationship that humans have with each other, I would put these relationships into two categories. There is a term that people use, and I don't like it very much, but in lack of better words, I will use it for a moment. There is this term, healthy relationship and unhealthy relationship.
That's a judgment, right? A bit.
It is, in a way, a judgment, because I always say, what is an unhealthy relationship? There is no such thing as an unhealthy relationship, because if the relationship seems to be unhealthy, it means it is just painful, and the pain is there to give you medicine,
mm-hmm.
to grow and learn. I just wanted to take that in order to define two different
concepts.
The concept on one side is a relationship that is based on and it always happens subconsciously, and unfortunately that is the relationship that humanity is living out with most of the things, most of the connections that they have, be it their children, be it their life partner, their husband, be it the father, the mother, be it the company, the boss, whatever mm-hmm. surrounds them, is that part. And that is the relationship of conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is the relationship of most important dependencies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how can you see such a relationship? The dependency is if, and this is very radical what I'm going to say now, if one is in a relationship with someone else, whatever that relationship is, and one cannot in every moment walk away with a peaceful heart, there are dependencies.
Mm-hmm.
See, there are dependencies. And even if that dependencies are anger or whatever, okay. it's a dependency to live that out.
Mm-hmm.
And that other mm-hmm. is triggering that.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I can leave a relationship, that doesn't mean necessarily to end completely the connection,
mm-hmm.
but leave the more intimate space, leave the space where I see this person every day, meaning I quit my job. Doesn't mean that I need to have a bad connection with my ex-boss or with mm-hmm. my colleagues, but sure. I'm just not in contact every day anymore. And I'm able to leave this space with no condition and have an open heart for it, then this relationship is what you would call a healthy relationship. And the question is, why do humans form these relationships, this
yeah, why the
it's a
experience.
Psychological concept, this earthly relationships in mm-hmm. the first place.
Is well, the, let me understand something. Yeah. Why do you call it a psychological concept?
Well, for me there is always, if I'm not able to completely surrender to the one mind,
mm-hmm.
to give it, to see everything in perfection, I need psychology, I need the psyche to step up for the earthly life in order to solve things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I understand. Okay.
You see? If I as the human being am able to completely surrender,
I'm not searching for other pleasure within the earth walk.
I'm not searching for other pleasure, but also I don't have the need to call something a relationship or to have conditions on a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see? The difference also with connection and relationship is, in a practical life terms, is that that a human being is kind of a swarm intelligence as well as the species, and it's like it's a tribe, you see, and living to tackle daily survival tasks work mm-hmm. much easier in making yeah. connections with mm-hmm. others. And unfortunately, humanity need ever more of these connections, because humanity has built up a world and a life full of dependencies.
Mm-hmm. But if we don't need these connections, we wouldn't be here all together, right, on Earth?
No, you have to see, to live your gift, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
To live your gift and share this gift with others is a connection.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can call it connection. Of course it's a connection, because you connect, you share your gift
openly and peacefully.
And okay. only that sharing is done unconditionally, and the receiving is done unconditionally. And then for my understanding, I would completely do away with these words of relationship and connections.
Because you don't need the status, you mean.
You don't need a concept.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need that concept.
Or the status of being in a relationship. You are just...
You are just.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I am that I am. You are just. You are. You mm-hmm. are. And from that space that you are sharing. And from that space that you are receiving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Soth, you can obviously call that a connection. Esta la kota se mitaku yoyazin. Mitaku yoyazin is a very important and popular, famous, word, a concept that the Lakota speak to all my relation. It means they when they do a speech, the elders, they always finish with mitaku yoyazin. That means to all my relations. So that means many things. That means my sharing is to all my relations,
mm-hmm.
and all my relations is everything. It's not just the human beings. Meaning I share this freely, unconditionally, to all my relations.
Mm-hmm.
It also means everything is interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And on an earthly level, everything is interconnected. Everything is threaded together. Humans perceive themselves as being separated from nature, separated from the grids of nature,
mm-hmm.
yeah, separated from other humans. But they are not. And Soth, in language and in conception, in conceptual thinking,
mm-hmm.
humanity needed to come up with ideas like mm-hmm. connection and relationship,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which in the first place is an illusion, because only a being that feels itself separate can use such concepts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's also a little bit of a tricky and difficult topic.
Mm-hmm.
For people to follow and to make sense what I'm sharing. Now, if I completely, for a moment, want to forget what I said just until now and say, okay, let's now go into what is an earthly relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how is it understood widely?
And why do we need such an experience?
And why do we need such an experience? Well, these kind of earthly connections to feel separate, they are also perfect. I always say everything is perfect. So how can we question it would not be perfect to feel separated?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It is medicine at the end of the day, which lead us to the understanding, it will be understood at one stage, that there was no separation in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See? Humans tend to first wander afar in order then to come back and realize that it was here. Here it was.
Mm-hmm.
See, here it was.
And why did I need to go there? Because here I couldn't see it.
When you say medicine, you refer to medicine for personal development, for spiritual path, for everything that it is, or what type of medicine?
Medicine is anything. Medicine is anything that helps growth.
Mm-hmm.
Medicine is anything that helps realization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, medicine is anything that supports inquiry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is medicine. Mm-hmm. The moment I feel, I will tell you an example. People work and in their the hole. All of a sudden, they get an illness, a big illness, cancer or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And then they stop working.
All of a sudden, they need to stop working. All of a sudden, there is automatically
a realization,
a reasoning behind it. So the brain starts to think, why did this happen?
Mm.
Right? And then people start to inquire. That's the most important. They start to ask questions, you know, mm-hmm. they inquire to mm-hmm. themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this inquiry brings answers.
Same in a relationship, right?
And these answers are realizations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And from these realizations, there can be growth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Only from these realizations. So to cut all the middle thing out, you can say cancer brought growth.
Mm-hmm.
So that illness brought growth.
So, or any event that...
Any event. The death of a loved one that mm-hmm. that creates a deep impact. Whatsoever. And so once the human is also ready to take this event as a possibility of growth and sees it at that, it's almost like a turbo. You see, even the unconscious one who doesn't see it will get an effect on that in growth. But the one who consciously sees this, oh, this is really a call that I should change my life. This is a call that I should also look to the left and to the right and not only straight. That one is like an accelerating on the beginning.
Absolutely,
of the path.
But how can you do the shift? Because at the moment, or in the moment, you are shocked, because these are shocks that...
But here is exactly the point. The one that cannot do the shift by, let me call it, by himself, by sitting down under the apple tree and meditate, the one that cannot do that, but the one that forgets about all of this and is just in life, that one needs to be hit. That one needs to be struck by some event in life.
This is the message,
in order to shake
right?
up.
This yeah, is the universal
message. It's a message of the universe.
And coming back to our question about why do we need this experience?
Well, why do we need this experience?
To co-living.
The co-living is...
Co-partnering.
Well, people say, if I get reflected by someone,
mm-hmm.
it's easier for me to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we have so much conflict in relationships?
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't know that and don't see that. They are having arguments from the point of their ego, their me and I consciousness, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. they want to be right,
mm-hmm.
right? And the next step is to understand that these relationships are there. The other person is behaving in a way, is doing something, and I don't like that. But instead of fighting with that person, telling the person I don't like that or whatever, it is to reflect, what did this just show me? This just showed me a part of me, of myself. Why? Because all that I can see, that I can hear, that I can smell, that I can touch, that I can feel, is already in me.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, one cannot perceive it.
Or anything that disturb you?
Of course, it's the same thing. Whether something makes you happy or whether something disturbs you, the perceptual possibility to grasp it mm-hmm. is only there when it's already within. When it is there, when it is there in the realms that this being can withdraw information, feelings, and whatever from.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting that we can only embrace or reflect when we are happy. But if something that disturbs us is happening, we don't embrace it. We
tend even to run away. And here is the thing that we always say that from pain, from darkness, there is where growth happens.
Or light needs to come to.
Yes, that there is where the growth really happens. Mm-hmm. That means embracing these moments of anger, embracing these moments of fear, embracing these moments of illness is so fundamental to growth.
Mm-hmm. On all levels.
And so this is why we have these relationships. You know, mm-hmm.
So if conflicts or big arguments will happen in any kind of relationship, right? I'm not referring only to romantic relationship because that's not the case. Would you stay there and embrace the argument or reflect upon it, or just run away and change it because that doesn't suit? Is not suitable for you, for your situation?
No, it depends very much what kind of position you can hold in this argument.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we are talking about the self-reflected person.
Mm-hmm.
If the self-reflected person that can see the person from the outside,
mm-hmm.
itself, this being, which doesn't, That thing that can see the being from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
If that thing can stay in a calm, an argument arises, but this person can contribute to the comfortable feeling of that other person in that moment that is bringing out the rage and the anger, you would definitely stay.
Mm-hmm.
You would definitely stay. If, and here is again, it's all self-reflection. If you feel that what this other person is doing is triggering so much that your blood is getting fiery and that you are at the moment of explosion, I suggest it's better to say, we better, you know, stop it here and we go our ways for some moments and then we can regroup and we go and reflect on that
mm-hmm.
by ourselves. So it's from a standpoint of a reflected being. If people are not reflected, they will anyway end up in a big quarrel, you know?
Mm. Mm.
And we all know what that brings.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So when we go to relationship and these connections, one very big topic is the dependency.
Mm-hmm.
Dependency. Because humans, by creating their self-construct, their I and me consciousness, through this I and me consciousness, through this ego,
mm-hmm.
this ego is creating so much dependencies on relationships and connection with others. The same like the ego is dependent on itself in its staying in its comfort zone and mm-hmm. having all this mm-hmm. this story around. With these dependencies, there is all kind of conditioning as well. There is dependencies and there is also conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning when talking about the word unconditional love. What is unconditional love? What is an unconditional relationship? What is an unconditional connection? An unconditional connection is something that whatever that other being, whatever that, it's not only just a human being, it can also be an outcome,
mm-hmm.
yeah, of something, is doing, is happening, whatever that is, I can always stay in that beautiful space of compassion and love with that mm-hmm. being, mm-hmm. without judging it, without getting angry, without all these kind of notions. And the best examples of non-unconditional love is the relationship between parents and their children. Mm-hmm. As long as the children always behave like the parents want, as long as they keep the feet under the table and straight and don't live what their spirit wants to live them out in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then parents are able, until that point, parents are able to express their benevolence towards that being that they call love.
Mm-hmm.
The moment this being is doing something that there are not many parents out there who really unconditionally love their children.
Mm-hmm.
They are. And I've seen many, I've met many. What I'm saying is that until that happens, the benevolence, this kind of what they call love, is there.
Mm-hmm.
I use the term fish love, which I can quickly explain what it means in a moment. The moment this other being that I'm in connection relationship with is not doing how my ego wants it to behave in this very moment, I start to be angry. I start to shout. And that's not love.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely not love. You cannot say, I'm shouting with you. I'm shouting at you and I give you a bunch of, you know, aggressiveness and angriness, but don't worry, I love you. This is really fish love. This is the love that kills. And whenever I can stay in that moment, that whatever that being is doing, so to understand right here, it doesn't mean that I need to agree with what this being is doing. This my child.
Mm-hmm.
However, to stay in this unconditional love, to embrace what the child is doing at the moment, if the child is super loud crying or shouting or whatever, to take the child in the arm, tell a little story. This is also something that people completely forgot in their relationship, to tell stories. I'm talking about these First Nation stories, you know? All these kind of stories, the stories, they only helped. They were only there either as metaphorics or they were there to help to soothe situations.
Or to make someone understand, understand.
Exactly, to explain as metaphoric. That's what I'm saying, yeah? As a metaphoric to understand situations. And so, this word, like relationship that people have amongst each other are difficult constructs. And they are in one hand needed for an earthly life.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. On the other hand, realized beings, reflected beings need also have very reflected relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about the fish love before. The fish love is that love that, a little story, a fisherman is sitting on the river, has the rod out there, next to it the basket, and is fishing. And a monk walks by, a Zen monk walks by and looks into the basket and sees some dead fish and asks the fisherman, how is it going? And the fisherman says, oh, wow, it's fantastic. I catch so much fish today. It's a very good day. You know, I love fish. I really love fish. And then the monk says, ah, okay, and because you love fish, you kill the fish. Is that right? And so we have to be careful with this word. If the fisherman would have said, yes, because I like to eat fish meat. Yeah? Okay? Then the whole story would not work. But the whole story only works because he used the word love. And that's what we do in life. You see? Meaning, if I give a condition to that fish, I love to eat fish meat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Then I'm truthful. I'm benevolent to my child because it makes me happy to see this little toddler running around and I always smile. Then I would be truthful. But if we say love, love has really to be questioned all the time what that really is. Mm-hmm. Is it a conditional benevolence or is it true unconditional love?
Again, like, how can you, you know, understand the difference in feelings in yourself if you never experience the other side? How can you determine this is unconditional or conditional if you didn't even know that the term exists or there is something like unconditional love, you know? You don't have that realization.
Well, if you don't have that realization, you cannot. And you will still be sitting in the darkness of believing, there is the word lie in between, be life, to yourself that this is love. However, this is all I'm saying here is without judgment to anyone, because human beings can only express what they are able to express in every moment of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? A person that is very big and weighs 200 kilos, you cannot expect from that person to run up the Mount Everest. Correct?
Correct, yeah.
And so you have to see the conditions.
And the capacity
and the
that
capacity,
we have.
And the capacity of this soul aggregate on this earth walk. And that determines the outcome of the life and how that life is lived.
Mm-hmm. If we are thinking about the relationship we have with our parents, what can we reflect out of that? Because, let's say, when you are a kid, the whole relation that we have with our parents, it shapes us in a way, right?
Absolutely. And most of the shaping, let's say, is most of the shaping of the human intellect, mm-hmm. of the cognitive understanding is done. Most of the shaping of the psyche is done in the first 4 or 5 years of growing up. And then it's mainly the parents, but not only the parents. I mean, nowadays it's kindergarten, it's the early school and all these kind of things. And nowadays it's tablets and smartphones
that shapes our
experience and our perception of life that children are exposed to with 3 years old. I've seen even smaller ones. I've seen even in a restaurant, I've seen, I would call them not even toddlers, like the stage between a toddler and a baby, on a baby chair, that the ones that you stick to the table. Sitting in front of a smartphone and moving around. I mean, probably less conscious than a more older one does, but doing something. So this all shapes And this is also part of the soul's journey.
Mm.
It's also part of the soul's journey to get a little bit in the circle of the Maya, how the Indians call it, the great illusion, in order to, if only I realize that there is illusion, if only I realize that the darkness is part of life as well as the light, also the illusion is as part of life as the realization and the truth. It's all part of life. It's not there by coincidence.
Mm.
One is medicine to the other. The illusion is the medicine to realization. I would say that illusion is also needed to create enough energy to penetrate through to that void, that truth. And so it's a journey. It's a journey. No one incarnates in, no soul aggregate incarnates on Earth, very little ones, incarnates on Earth without the need to go on such a journey. And that has to do with the karmic imprints of that soul aggregate, of the karmic imprints of the soul strands that this soul aggregate is compassed for this Earth walk. So it's all needed. And you were saying the relationship is all in divine perfection. The relationship that this child is growing up with the parents and is influenced by the parents, is formed by the parents. Is in perfect alignment with the path that this
soul
needs to
travel.
To travel on the Earth walk. And it determines how strong this penetration will and force must be to penetrate out of that,
mm-hmm.
to make oneself on the way. And to penetrate into that realization of self. And you see that one says that the more advanced soul strands a soul aggregate carries, advanced means ancient soul strands that have incarnated in different other life situations. The more on each earth walk where these soul strands, on every earth walk there are many different soul strands that form a soul aggregate. With this getting more and more ancient soul strands, meaning that whole soul aggregate is getting more ancient and more ancient with more wisdom mm-hmm. accumulated.
Mm-hmm.
The more challenges is to tackle for this, let's say, human being with this soul aggregate. The visionaries, the big wisdom keepers, are the ones that go through mainly most of the hardship. Why? Because they are able to carry the burden. They don't fall into an emotional louche and lose themselves. Because of these soul strands that they carry, because of the richness of wisdom these soul strands are and have. Because of that, they won't give up. They won't run away. They will go through it. And that is needed for karmic release.
Mm-hmm.
The reason behind it is all about karmic release.
I would like to, so relationship and this topic is so vast, right? We have romantic relationship, as I said at the beginning. We even have relationship with pets.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes, and this is also something that I know from my own experience, I love water and therefore aquatic mm-hmm. world, right? And sometimes I hear whales or... meaning that I am in a kind of connection or I to intercept this type of sounds. So how would you define this type of connection relationship that... And I also, so let's say not friends, but people to have kind of a relationship with their pet, you know, they are all the time there. What is the connection with the spirit?
Well, two different things.
Absolutely, yeah.
Two different things when we come to the...
to this type
to the animal world. So, and I don't say that the pet thing that I'm going into now first is always like this.
Mm-hmm.
Pets have the possibility to carry a lot of burden for humans.
Mm-hmm.
So an animal spirit that shows up in the life of a human, so close, living, that's different with the pet than an animal spirit, a totemic spirit, which is the other part I will come to, create a very strong bond and relationship with the humans. And you see many, many times that domesticated pets, like especially dogs and also cats, get cancer. Many, many, many times. And, well, some part of it can be all this influence of radio, EMF waves and so on. Mainly, the influence is though that they are taking I would call it the suffering
from the human
The human being, and helping to carry that suffering, is one of the explanations. Another one is that humans also choose pets as a placeholder in order. They have the need to create some kind of dependency to another being.
Mm-hmm.
And since a dependency to a human being seems too complicated for their psyche, the only being they can create a dependency is on an animal.
Mm-hmm.
Because an animal doesn't really speak. A cat or a dog more, but a cat, they do speak. But in a completely different way. Highly intelligent beings, what I'm saying is you don't have an argument
mm-hmm.
mostly
yeah,
with a cat.
Yeah. It's not words that...
exactly. Weepers. So you that's why you see many elderly people that live alone in cities, almost mm-hmm. all of them have either a cat or a dog.
Mm-hmm. They miss something.
They miss something which their psyche tries to find within that animal, that connection of love and being loved. Because what can domesticated animals do? They love unconditionally, especially dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, cat not so. Cat can be, but dogs, they are completely unconditional. I mean,
very
unconditional. I will also doubt that, because the moment you don't feed a dog, we'll see if it stays with you or runs away, or if he's staying only for the food. But however, dogs, once they are with you and next to you, they are expressing unconditional beingness.
Mm-hmm. Now we divide it a bit. Yeah, you choose to answer this domestic
yeah.
relationship.
And now coming to your sound of the whale in the ear, that's obviously not anything to do with a domestic animal. here we have to go into the realms and go to the First Nation people's perception and understanding and philosophy of the world. With this, again, I pick up from what I said before, Mitakuya Oyasi, and everything is related.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go into the realms of totemic, totem.
What means totem?
Totem animals. Totem animals. Totem animals, that's animal spirits
mm-hmm.
that are at service, guiding, helping, assisting a human spirit on an earth walk.
Mm-hmm.
That can be for an entire life. That can be for just a very short period. That can be only for one time, just a glimpse of something
mm-hmm.
that gives you a right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a little example. You are standing on a crossroad in the middle of the forest. You don't know where to go. All of a sudden, a colorful bird flies in there, and you automatically know that's the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's that road where the bird showed up, and you go there, and it's the right road. Right. So this is not a coincidence. This was an animal spirit that was sent along your path to just. This is a very little example, and it can go as far as animal spirits can very much help humans to heal their bodies, right? Find direction in life.
Mm-hmm.
Can communicate through in the real world. Meaning mm-hmm. in the dream world, that's the real world. In the night mm-hmm. when the humans sleep, that's the real world. And in that real world, animals, spirit, totems shows
brings
up.
Brings a message.
And bring messages and bring guidance. And this is a whole different relationship and connection. Because for one, it's very unconditional compared to pets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, a human can take it maybe a little bit conditional and says, well, you know, now this totem has been with me for such a long time and guided me. Now it's not there anymore. Now I miss something. So also there can be a slight, but mostly not. Mostly it's very clear for both the spirits, the human spirit and the animal spirit, that this is a connection and a relationship of guidance. And obviously, when you say you hear the sound of whales, then it means you are very connected to whale people. And if you choose so, one methodology of the human psyche and mind is that you can then, in times of sorrow, you can connect to this world,
mm-hmm.
to this world of the whale people. And you can ask for assistance and guidance. And in my personal experience, it will always be not only granted, it will always show up in one or the other way. The important thing is that once a human being is working with animal spirits, you have to have what the native North Americans call the hunter's perception. And hunter's mm-hmm. perception has nothing to do with naturally killing animals. Hunter's perception is you have a 360-degree perception. You have a six-dimensional perception into six-dimensional into a perception of the six of the seven actually spaces: the north, the east, the south, the west, the above, the below, and the center.
Mm-hmm.
If you have this complete perception, you will be able to interpret and read and in the first place even see these connections and these relationships. Because if you don't have that, you will say, oh, that was just a coincidence that the buzzard shows up in my life in the last weeks all the time when I see it. Most of the people won't even realize that there is a buzzard all the time sitting on their fence looking at them, or an owl, or whatsoever,
mm-hmm.
or a whale sound in the ear. And to train that hunter's perception is what the Native Americans, they have practices for it. To train that perception, to have that perception open, that feel open, in order to penetrate into even the possibility to grasp all this.
All these messages.
All these messages and you know, that opening to that possibility of wisdom there.
Would you know such practices or some?
There are many different practices. One practice, for example, you know, there is perceptual practices that you can just sit down and you imagine yourself from the third eye going a line out here, approximately like half a meter in front of your heart region. And then there is one line going out here. And then you sit there and you imagine this assemblage point. Mm-hmm. And from this assemblage point, you draw a line, and that line penetrates into the infinite. And when you are in this space long enough, you are able to perceive, you are able to get the, your mind completely closes down, like in a deep meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind closes down, and when the mind closes down, you are able to perceive out of that realms.
So you go in another reality.
You go in another reality, you go in another dimension. And one can be fasting, for example. One can be a vision quest.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You see, which also has to do with fasting. So there is different physical practices even to that. One can be to train a little bit the hunter's perception. Very simple, practical, profane thing. You're driving in the car in the city, and you just be busy by looking at other cars and their colors and their license plates. And you will realize if you do that half an hour, you didn't have one thought for 1 hour. Mm-hmm. You didn't think about anything because you were just busy observing. This is one of the base trainings, of core trainings of the hunter's perception, is to observe your surroundings without having thoughts.
Without judgment, without...
This is another stage, but it's just about observing to realize all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden people say, wow, I'm driving that road 7 years every day to my work. I've never seen that house there.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
Because obviously they have never seen that house there, because first of all, it doesn't stand directly on the road in their visual field. And second of all, they were constantly busy in their mind when they're driving to the road, what they have to do and so on. So, coming back, hunter's perception is the base in order to make a connection to the totemic world. But that's a whole other topic. I just wanted to give you a little glimpse, because you were talking about connections not only to humans, but connections also. And the totemic world doesn't end at animal beings. It's also plants, it's stones, you know? It's everything that is within that living construct.
I was just thinking that we are speaking about relationship and wondering what was the explanation and how do we connect also with other type of spirits. Or
you see, when the human is able to perceive, to understand, when the understanding was coming, and live again the dream, and not the dream of becoming rich or something, mm-hmm. but the big dream of sharing the gifts, these gifts, that unique gifts that are part of the soul aggregate's blueprint with this world, the human will come to the understanding that obviously everything that is energy, everything that is consciousness, everything that is in existence has a gift. So the human come to the understanding with a totem that obviously nature, the trees,
everything,
the animals, they share a gift and they have a spirit, and everything is interconnected. And in this interconnection, everything exchanges the gifts in the most optimum way.
Mm-hmm.
And the First Nation people who are out of that, who were, some of them who are still out of that stress of the Western world,
mm-hmm.
for them it's very easy to constantly connect and receive these gifts. It's like you go to a gift store, you can just take without paying what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the medicine that serves you in this very moment?
Mm-hmm. Correct. You know, we were touching a bit on the topic of romantic relationship, and I hear a lot around me, or I hear these concepts of twin flame, soulmate, and so on. Are we losing ourselves in concepts and definition, or there is something out there that can give us some insights whenever we are talking about twin flame or soulmate? Or I don't know if there are more than this, because these were the ones that I hear on repeat. But what that means for us, and why these concepts, like, how does it help to know this is a soulmate or twin flame?
Well, in my best understanding, I will try to answer your question. A soul aggregate is a combustion of many soul strands.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever an earthwalk ends, the soul aggregate is dissolving in its individual soul strands. These soul strands are these strands that have all the memories, that have all the Akashic records of that soul aggregate that they have been part of in prior lives, so to speak, in prior carnations, not incarnations, because an incarnation would mean that one soul is over and over incarnating. So I speak of carnations because it's always a new soul aggregate that is put together from soul strands that have had many earth walks or less earth walks. And when now a soul aggregate is combust together for a new earth walk, for a new carnation, and two people feel a very deep bond, people in the new age realm explain, as you mentioned it, twin flame or twin ray. Is a deep connection which derivates from soul strands that both being carry on this earth walk. That means that, now I'll try to explain it more simply. On my earth walk, I carry a soul strand of James the Great or James the Small that has lived in Scotland in whatever, some other timeline. And we are living in a parallel universe, not in a linear universe. So time is running parallel. And these soul strands are now a few of those, just to explain it easier for people to understand. Five of the soul strands that his 100% soul strands were, there were thousands of soul strands, but five of them, or 10 of them, are part of my soul. And again, also the soul strands is more a metaphorical, not metaphorical, but more and more explanation that people understand, like in threads.
Mm-hmm.
And these soul strands I carry. And this James had an immense love in his life. And they were abruptly separated through death, through a very traumatic happening. And now you carry 5 of the soul strands, or 10, of that woman.
Mm-hmm.
So our imprint, the imprint in my soul strands and the imprint in your soul strands, carry that traumatic happening. And here is the point to understand. It's always about traumatic happenings. When soul strands, when these so-called twin rays search each other, and mm-hmm. they will eventually at one incarnation meet, because there is still some common trauma, and this common trauma is easier to release karmic imprint that has happened in these soul strands is easier to release if they release it together. If they meet, they will have this, in this life now, they will have this innate feeling of there is something special mm-hmm. in us, with us.
Mm-hmm.
We know each other. We love each other so deeply. Everything feels so natural with you. I feel so good with you, and so on. And this is because this is one explanation. Another explanation is you could have literally the same soul strands of one being, of one soul aggregate that has walked the earth than I have in this very moment. Literally the same ones. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they are literally loaded with the same information, completely, with the same karmic imprints, with the same Akashic information. And so these soul strands naturally are drawn to the other aggregate that is on the world, which carries also some of these soul strands,
mm-hmm.
which is only a part of it, just to understand. So, and then people have this very, very, very strong connection. It's a very strong connection. And people say that the twin flame is something of some kind of eternal feminine and masculine reunion or union, not reunion, mm-hmm. union. While the twin ray, sorry, the twin ray. While the twin flame, but again, this is to me very New Age terminology. Is the twin flame is fire? It means you have to resolve something still, and it will be a lot of learning together in this. And I can relate to these kind of relationships because mm-hmm. you see these kind of relationships. Part of these relationships I have lived myself.
Mm-hmm.
With partners,
mm-hmm.
with female partners. And this is the best of my knowing in explanation how this connection derives from that deep soulic knowing.
Maybe that's why some of relationships in our earth walk needs to happen, right, in a way.
I mean, all relationships in our earth walk, nothing in our earth walk happens
by coincidence.
So everything that happens for a reason, and that's why it's good, everything. There is nothing that is not good. That's why good and bad doesn't exist.
It's just what you give to the event.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much. I am very grateful to have a wonderful conversation. A lot to talk. I hope you enjoy our episode about relationship and you learn or relate to some of the explanations. I hope it's beneficial and contribute to your earth walk as well. Appreciate very much for listening and continue watching. Many to come. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this enlightening journey with another voice of the One Mind. We thank you for your support, and to ensure that you never miss a drop of this wisdom nectar, click subscribe and stay connected with us on the onemind.org. Until next time, may your path be illuminated with profound insights and growth.